Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:40 Central African time. The program is consciously connected. Over 2 million hits thus far. People listening to us from down under to right to the UK. Hey, I believe US, and there's a time zone somewhere in Russia. So, halan wa salan to all the listeners. And not forgetting good old Durban. Hey, Durban, where the ocean is in motion. And I won't say much more, but this morning, joined by a top guest, and alhamdulillah, well, I'll be in the mix with them, and I'll be enjoying questioning both of them. And, well, let's welcome first Councillor Ahmad Parak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another fine day, Shafat.
Fine day indeed. And then Brigadier Supersad, someone that I've become accustomed to, but I haven't met him personally. I'm going to make a plan to go and visit Brigadier soon. Brigadier Supersad, good morning and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning and good morning for having me here. And thank you very much.
No, welcome indeed. Ahmad, let's kick off with you and get the scenario going. Durban is entering once again that season. I don't like calling it a silly season because people by choice become silly, but we as human beings are supposed to be the vicegerent of God on earth. But you know, sometimes year in and year out, when it comes to this time of the year, they will repeat mistakes where we, you know, as intelligent beings, they shouldn't be repeating these mistakes. What goes through your mind, Ahmad? I'm going to give you this moment to interact with Brigadier Supersad. So remember, at 8 we go for the medley. So I'm going to sit back and listen to you and Brigadier and the listeners too. So go for it, Ahmad. Bismillah.
Brigadier Supersad, my friend, Metro Police, Deputy Commissioner of our Tigwini Metro Police, welcome to our segment of Marcus Sahaba on a Sunday morning. Brigadier, first and foremost, thank you for accepting our invitation to assist us in terms of what is happening in the city in this festive season. The very first question is, Brigadier, is the road closures in terms of the beachfront, what is going to be happening in terms of is going to be permit system like previously what we had. I also believe you'll have employed more manpower for the beaches. We're expecting at this morning, Sunday's Tribune, the paper is saying something like in the region of 800,000 visitors are expected in the city as well as in this province. How are we going to cope with it in terms of logistics, in terms of ambulance service, Metro Police, SAPS, all that put together, the package which there was a seminar, I think about a week or 10 days ago regarding how is going to be the rollout for this festive season. Can you enlighten our listeners on the structure and what's going to happen over this festive season?
Thank you, Councillor Park. Firstly, I must indicate that it's a privilege to give you information, share information, and share to the listeners the information with regard to the beachfront. With the road closures, we will be monitoring the traffic volume into the beachfront area, and when there's a need to close the beachfront, we will close it. And when the traffic is eased off, we will open. So that's how we're going to actually operate with the road closure in the beachfront. There is no permit system in place. We will be closely monitoring, just as previous years, how we did. We have a FESMAC committee, which is the Festive Season Management Committee, which I am one of the EXCO members on that committee. And with that committee, we make joint or collective decisions in trying to manage the beachfront, because you must understand, crowd is one thing that it's very, very difficult to manage with the police. You can have the mounted unit, that is the horses. You can have people on camels to manage crowd, but crowd becomes a very, very difficult situation to manage. So we have a joint operation center set up. With the joint operation center, we have key role players or stakeholders in that operation center who will receive information and cascade information to relevant stakeholders to activate certain alert commands or certain information or certain problematic areas that we can pick up and we can move swiftly to sort out the problem. With regard to the lifeguards on the beach, we have introduced for the season extra lifeguards. We have introduced also the so-called separated children. We have a lot of separated children during the festive season, and we have tents around. We also have the park and ride facility, so there's going to be no taxis operating on the beachfront. The taxis will drop off the patrons or the beachgoers at the old Durban driving site. They'll be boarded free of charge into the people mover or into the park and ride buses offered by the city, and they will drop them off at various attraction points on the beachfront, and then they will fetch them when in the afternoon or whenever during the course of the day. So this park and ride facility will rotate throughout the day until late evening. Now, for today, I must indicate that our temperatures are quite high and we are geared up for the beachfront. Already, the beachfront cleanup operations, you must understand, from last night, we had people partying the entire night. So our cleanup operation had started at 2 o'clock in the morning with the Durban Solid Waste Department and Parks and Recreation and the police. Because one must understand that when these other line departments tries or attempts to clean up the beach, the people that are already sitting in the grass or have been partying last night, they refuse to move. And you have to get the police to actually sometimes physically move them. And if they do not comply, they go straight into the back of the van for failing to comply with the police officer's instructions. So that's how it's going so far. With regard to the ambulance services, we have private ambulance services on the beachfront to respond to any medical emergencies. They are contracted to the city, and we have the provincial ambulances as backup. So we are all good to go as per previous weeks. We have tried it, we have tested it, and with God's grace, everything so far is going well.
I believe this week that went past that we have introduced brand new vehicles, 622 new vehicles or 627 vehicles. How is this vehicles going to be utilized with the Metro Police?
Councillor, we have acquired 62 vehicles. This is an additional to what our fleet has of more than 500. And this is posted throughout or deployed throughout the Tigrani area. We have formed a new highway patrol unit, which also will be incorporated into the distribution of the new vehicles. These highway patrol vehicles will be at most entry and exit points out of the city. So we will be monitoring the highways, and we will be monitoring also the region, the N2 and the N3 from Cateridge from our boundary right to the eastern side of the sea, and on the north side, Chongat, and the south side, which is Amkomang.
So if these vehicles, the 62, my apologies, I thought it was 622, I just misread, the 62 vehicles. Now, have we got additional manpower? I believe we're supposed to have received something in the region of about 2,000 volunteers or trainees that were supposed to have joined the Metro Police. Has that been finalized?
Councillor, I must indicate, and I must say very, very honestly, that you can't take a policeman and put a policeman straight away on the street. He has to go to various types of training to make the person a policeman or policewoman on the street. So it takes time, and some of these people are still in training. Some of them are out on the street. We have brought them and put them on the street under very close supervision because they are still in the training mode. So they are still learning. And we just can't put them alone to work because obviously they will be calling for help or won't know how to deal with certain types of problems. Because you must understand, with the Durban Metropolitan Police Service, our first mandate is traffic management. The second mandate is bylaw enforcement, everything to do with bylaws. And the third is crime prevention. So that's how the order of the mandate is.
We have spent a lot of money here recently in updating all our camera system in the entire city. Now, this will give you a big boost in the beachfront as well as all the roads, all our roads in Durban, N2, N3, that is coming into Durban. All these things are actually working, apparently, from my understanding, was that they are functioning 100%. Now, what happens in a case where the, normally the Transvaalers actually, they like to spin their vehicles and they do the donuts and they drive in the region of 170 kilometers. From my understanding, was also anything over a certain limit, there will be no bail and they will have to be detained. What is the criteria in terms of having kangaroo court for the release of these people?
Councillor, I won't say it's kangaroo court, but we have and we can activate the law courts if the person is willing to actually have his case finalized so he doesn't have to travel to and fro. We have a very good relationship with the National Prosecution Authority and our good friend Asia from the Department of Justice, who always comes to our help and assists us with a whole lot of things with regard to the justice system. So the cameras, yes, the cameras are working in the city and the cameras are monitored by the police, and it's a very, very important tool. If you go throughout the world, this technology is there for the police to actually manage and monitor all kinds of activity.
So if a person over a certain limit, he will be detained. So that is a factor that they have to take into account, that there will be a bail or what happens in a long weekend. They're going to be opening the courts in terms of what we have just spoken about, or what is the criteria is going to be used?
If a person exceeds the speed limit and if there's no admission of guilt, then the person is taken to the South African Police Services and detained. And he will be, depending on the circumstances, he will be afforded bail. He will pay the bail, or if he wants, he can opt to actually have his hearing or the case immediately held. And the arraignments will be made for it to be held. he will also be afforded legal representation in terms of the Constitution.
What is the stance with Metro Police in terms of drunken drivers?
Councillor, we've had many roadblocks so far, and our most famous area around was the Blue Lagoon area, and people or drivers can see that the police is at the exit points and entrance points at Blue Lagoon, but they still consume. Over Friday night, Saturday morning, we made 12 arrests. 12 drivers were arrested at Blue Lagoon, exiting Blue Lagoon or driving into the Blue Lagoon area on the beachfront. So that itself will say to you that people are just non-compliant.
So if they're non-compliant, then they obviously been pressurized, been used, are they charged by Metro Police as well as SAP, or were they detained at the SAPS cells? Metro Police have got their own cells. Will we be able to cope with the influx of people coming to our city, and Metro Police will be able to cope with the drunken drivers over this festive season?
Councillor, the procedure is such that if a Metro policeman establishes if a driver is drunk, he's then breathalyzed, he's then taken to the district surgeon to draw his blood, and then for detention, the Metro Police do not have cells. It is not part of the mandate to have cells and to prosecute any drunken driver or put them into a place of custody, because you got to actually, there's certain criteria that you got to use. So all the Metropolitan Police Service in South Africa do not have cells, holding cells. We take them to the South African Police Service, there's a docket open, there's a case number issued, and that's how the procedure unfolds.
In conclusion, Brigadier, with the staff what we have at Metro Police, and with the influx of 8 to a million people we're expecting over this festive season, the question is, will we be able to cope for this festive season compared to the other seasons due to lack of manpower? What is your take on that?
Councillor, you are in council, and we've been requesting for more manpower at most of the council meetings. What we are doing currently is we're doubling our manpower by actually offering them double shifts. So in double shifts, we can look at it as force multipliers, or we are seen as actually making them work. Instead of 8 hours, we make them work 12 hours or sometimes 16 hours, depending on the circumstances or depending on how the day pans out. So that's how we have been working so far. As a result, the overtime expenditure is increased. But if we have more manpower, we won't be able to tire these policemen. Now, over the past years, we have been working, especially during the festive season, we've been working flat out, doubling our time up and ensuring that the festive season is free and safe for all visitors visiting Durban, including the community around. And that's our aim, and that's our mission.
Brigadier, thank you very much for assisting us this morning with our radio station, bringing this important information to the community, and to make it, you have a very, very good festive season, and I wish you all the best for, and also the very best. So hope you get the position of the Deputy Commissioner of Metro Police. We will do our utmost best to support you wherever we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, listeners.
Yeah, Ahmed Farouk and the Brigadier Supersad, brilliant indeed, Ahmed. 10 out of 10 for you for conducting such a powerful interview. Just gone 8 o'clock Central African time. And yes, our Councillor Ahmed Farouk on his segment, Straight Talk. Must tell you, he did a brilliant job this morning with Brigadier Supersad. And Alhamdulillah, Ahmed, I'm writing out your certificate. This is to certify that Ahmed Farouk is a fully fledged broadcaster and can appear on any platform. And they assigned my name, Shafaz Ahmed Khan, 4 times award-winning presenter on World Space. Ahmed, there's your certificate. You can run your own show. Go for it, Ahmed.
JazakAllah, Shafaz. We are finished with Metro Police, Shafaz. Now let's do our Q&A for on Straight Talk.
Actually, I'm just pulling your leg there. Say, hey, go for it, because I know it's a Straight Talk with Ahmed Farouk, Councillor Ahmed Farouk, looking at questions that are coming in for you. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brujab. Enjoy the show with Ibrahim Saluji and now Ahmed Farouk and Brigadier Supersad. May I also add that Ahmed Farouk has the right men, and he identifies people that seems to have the right attitude. Ahmed, what is it that makes you identify people that have potential and you also do the right things? You have a history of being the people's champion. Ahmed, how you respond to that message?
That is very, very simple. If you're good to people, people will be good to you. If how you conduct your affairs with the especially government department, not i.e. Metro Police, SAPS, water and sanitation, electricity, whichever department, home affairs, justice department, prison services, Shafaz, is how you go and respect and talk to them. I promise you 9 out of 10, you will come out walking from there, whatever reason you went to accomplish that task, you will come out there very, very easily. And how you have to, the most important thing, you give respect and you want to get that respect back. And especially in these government entities, hierarchies, when you salute them, when you talk to them politely, tell them, this is our problem. How best you can assist me? Put the ball in his court. He then, if he cannot do it, he'll tell you, no, hold on, counselor, take it to so-and-so, I'm phoning him for you. And I'm telling you, Shafaz, 9 out of 10, the work is done. And this is how you get work done. You must have a little bit of compassion in you, what you say, must have adab in you, even if he's a young guy. You know, some of these new guys, they just come from university. They have got like standard 14 compared to what I've got, standard 8. They'll sometimes aggress. But the very same guy, people will tell me, you know what, you're going there, you're not going to win with this guy. This guy thinks he knows it all. I said, no, leave it to me. I will go and sort it out. I go there, talk to him nicely, sit down with him, greet him properly, give him the due, what his position, make him the boss of his department, the boss of his, what he is doing. He's the man in charge. I said, you the man, tell me how best you can help me. And I'm telling you, Shafaz, when I come out from there, I come out with the document and he's been approved.
Ahmed, you got a beat, you got a style. And you know, generally the people, hey, check, that was an actor way. So if I find an actor way, I just phone you, you'll come and do the rest for me, Ahmed?
Yeah, Shafaz, anytime, alhamdulillah. In fact, you know, in all government, even in the mortuaries too. And you know, sometimes a lot of people came and told me, you know what, that doctor refused blankly, the manager doesn't want to do anything, she doesn't want to take the call. I said, leave it to me, let me see what I can do. But please do me one favor. The problem is, you know what happens in our community? Now, everybody knows everybody. That's one. Secondly, they make the life of the manager a living hell. Everybody wants to phone. Now, because you got the dollars behind you, you think you can call a shot. Mm. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes, because they also have to follow protocol and everything. This, you know, in government, everything has to go according to plan. And sometimes these people see what you are doing, and sometimes their own people come and then they've been refused. So that makes a big problem for us. So therefore, there was there's a way in approaching, you know, on lots of time they came to me, they told me, you know what, in terms of the rule is the body's got to be there by 5 o'clock and they're compelled to do the postmortem. I told them, yes, no problem. I agree with you 101%. The issue is, are you prepared to take these workers in the other side of Inchanga? You prepared to take one staff to the other side of Mbumbulu? They say, no, we can't do that. I said, now you want everything, but I'm going to ask you a simple question. Help me. I will get this thing done. Put this. Just do one thing for me. Just go and drop these 4 staff. Shafat, nobody wants to come forward. In one case, I tell you one good example I'll give you. They agreed. As soon as the body was released, I can't find nobody there. I even went to the Ghusl Khana to say, you know what, you promised me you're going to do it. I had to get Uber and I had to shuttle them with my own money. This is what happened when, you know, people come and they got the dollars and don't worry, done. So by the time you finish, nothing. And some people will come, don't worry, this mayat here, we will take care of it. Allah Akbar. They said to me, they will pay for the cemetery. Then we need to go and phone them. If you told you want to pay for it, then I don't have to phone you. You know, in the next day or so, pay and get finished. But we have to make 1, 2, 3 calls. No, man, you know what? You know the other guy, Muhammad, said he will make good? I said, bye. You also said you want to make good. I'm phoning Muhammad. Muhammad saying you say Muhammad. Now, what is the story? Otherwise, don't worry. We'll put it as Lillah. They say, no, we'll pay for it. See, this is what happens. Sometimes they want to come there and play like big shots there, but when they can't do anything. So that's why I always say, when there's somebody, one person is handling, let him handle from A to Z. He knows how. If he's got a problem, he knows he's going to phone Ahmed Parak. Listen here, I got a problem. How best we can sort this out? This is the way we should be doing. Everybody wants to poke their nose in it, and then in the end, we all can't do it because that, you know what, the pathologist does. He puts his phone off because everybody is phoning him. That is the problem we face with Shafat.
Now, Ahmed, I want to, you know, make this clear with many listeners. That some have said, oh, Ahmed, you know, he's this party and that part. I want to tell you, listeners, that Ahmed Parak had joined us as a member of the Islamic Burial Council, and a very relevant indeed. And he, you know, gave us information about the Ummah. And, you know, subsequently, whilst being the member of the IBC, he had the power, people. He picked up his phone and he spoke to authorities. The autopsy was done. The bodies were released, and he was our go-to man. And subsequently, you know, through divine decree, he got the opportunity of becoming a counselor. You heard Brigadier Siu Prasad, when he was talking to Ahmed Parak, he kept on, you know, referring to him as counselor. So by divine decree, he's been appointed to that position, and he's making it happen for the Ummah, for the Muslim community. As Ahmed said, so many people, they say, yes, don't worry, amen, I got it done. And the patel, he said, no, I'll pay for it, and the hand is in the pocket, but the hand doesn't come out of the pocket. But Ahmed, this is a fact, you had joined us long before you became a counselor, and you were still making things happen, Ahmed. Your comments.
Shafat, I was one of the co-founders of Islamic Burial Council with myself, Salim, Musa Mullah, Yaqub Sirjif, you know, the handful of us, we all got together and we formed Islamic Burial Council. Alhamdulillah, you know, up till today, Islamic Burial Council in this province has got a household name, that because we have built it to the standard. And also, Islamic Burial Council have went to, in Kauteng is IBC there, in Mapumalanga. We're rolling it out to the other provinces as well. Eventually, inshallah, our aim is to make one national body with Islamic Burial Council. But this is how you have to start somewhere. And alhamdulillah, I've been working behind the scenes for the last 30 odd years. And you know me, not in politics. I was in politics, I was in burial, I was in Free Market Foundation. I'm the chairman of his United Clothing and Textile Association. I'm involved with various NGOs, NPOs, because it's wherever our community gets benefit, I must be there. That is my aim. My father always said, wherever Deen work is taking place, whether it is Istima or Maulud or anything, where Deen work is taking place, where it is run 100% according to Sharia compliance, go and assist them. There's nothing there because they're taking Allah's Rasul's name, and that's where you have to be.
This messenger says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chatter this morning, Blue Chef, when I was listening to your chummy Ahmed talking to the brigadier. But I want to tell Ahmed, I'm here in the beachfront this morning. Allah Park, it is so na Park. Please, Ahmed, come and check the water out. It's stinking. Ahmed, how do you respond to this, brother? He's there in the beachfront.
Shafat, as I said in last week, our Ecolas problem is not going to run away. The problem is, if you take 1 liter bottles, can you put 1.5 liter in that bottle? You cannot. It will overflow. This overflow of the water and because of the pipes are not running into our pump station. Now the overflow is now going into our rivers, from our rivers is going into the sea. So from our 23 beaches in Durban and surrounding, we only managed to open 11 of them. The rest of them is got a problem. The issue is to do your test, we got 3 independent tests we do on a day-to-day basis, morning and afternoon. And if those independent people say, this beach is not consumed for use today, you can't do anything. They close it, that's it, because people will not get sick there. So, but sometimes, because of the current of the sea, water, it gets washed away completely to somewhere else. Then it's a different story. So therefore, they're open on a day-to-day basis. So today, it might be our Durban beachfront, two or three of the areas, Addington Beach, Blue Lagoon, and North Beach, you cannot use it. But in the afternoon, you'll find you can use it because it's been already tested. It is 100%. They give you the go-ahead. They open it up completely. This is where the problem is. There is a problem we have is we cannot fix our raw sewage. If you cannot fix that, that's the problem. My party, Action SA, have already into court. We just filed the last papers and we insist by the court. Now we want a date sometime in January or February, which when the courts are in recess, as soon as the courts open, we will get a court date and it will be maybe last for 2 days, the case. And we're taking them full on this issue here, because the thing is this, you cannot have such a beautiful city and you cannot use the beach. Now the problem is we have to do something, and we have already maybe filed I don't know how many thousand pages into court already. So as soon as they give us the date, we will invite all the media, including our radio station, Shafat. We will do an interview, live interview from court as well, where we are in terms of this issue about the Rosu, and we are driving it very, very strongly. And once we get the judgment, and we want to make sure the judge gives us an order. Now, in an order, then we go take that order and go to a municipality. They need to find money. They have to do something and appoint the contractors in terms of that order. That's what we are fighting at the moment, Pushaman.
Look, in this message here, Maksud says, Assalamu alaikum, Mandro, my man, you make me so proud. I'm a beach boy, simply love what you're doing, and we get very happy, like you and Chef, keeping our flag flying. Please, Ahmed, I want to know what's wrong with the councillor for our Ward 90. I mean, our lagoon is stinking, our fish are dying, our places are polluted, and sometimes you find the sewage, as you call it, overflowing, but then the councillor that we have in this Ward 90 is like non-existent. Is he retired or what is he doing? Please, Ahmed, don't forget us. I know you got Musgrave ship shape, but our ship here is sinking. Please, Ahmed, help. Ahmed, how you respond to Maksud?
Shafat Maksud, firstly, they must liven the ratepayers association, number one. Secondly, that ward councillor has been allocated monies to fix some of the things in Springbok Beach. Now, every ward councillor gets an allocation. Like Musgrave Ward 31 gets an allocation of 3 million. That money is being allocated for smaller things and all that, not the major stuff and all that. Then you allocate who's going to be the chairperson, who's going to be infrastructure, all this, you form a proper committee. Now, that committee needs to fight with the ward councillor and say, we want A, B, C, D, E, F. And that's where we are very strong. Everything, whatever happens in Musgrave, people will say, you know what, how can you come from Springbok Beach in 3 years, you turn Musgrave upside down? It's an easy, simple exercise. First thing we came here, I formed a ratepayers association. That ratepayers association, we got the right people involved in that ratepayers association. We got Mohammed Kotwa, who's running it like a machine. We employed our own people. We got our own vehicle. We got our own tools. We clean the area. People see, Shabbat, for 2024, the monies are already put into the ratepayers association account for the fees. And you know how much we're charging? 360 rand. The same thing. Apparently, Springbok Beach have already started that, but I don't know what. But you need to hold the councillor accountable for everything in Springbok Beach. You are having problem in our river mouth. He's supposed to be the first guy there, getting the media, showing them the fish. This is the problem. This is where our issue is. Why the mouth is so dirty. He's been appointed. The community appointed him as the councillor of the area. He needs to be accountable. And if he cannot account for what he's doing, then bring a by-election. Mobilize with the community in Springbok Beach and all over. Because that guy there is not doing his work. If he's not doing his work, do a petition, and then we send it to the council, the speaker's office, tell him we insist we want a by-election. That's how you have to do it. You have to start threatening them to say, you know what, if you can't do it, get somebody else who is vocal, who is prepared to do the work and account to the community. This is how you do things, Shafat.
Now, Ahmed, I want to know if the CPF, do they get an allowance from the ward council? As you said, you may be getting 3 million, 4 million. The CPF, because they do a lot of work. They trim your lawn, they clean up things. If there's a sewer problem, they are the ones that, you know, come maybe sometimes even hire their own equipment and declog the pipes and clean the drains and so forth. Do they get a stipend from this ward councillor, or are they entitled to claim from him, Ahmed?
No, what did the ward councillor have to do? Make an application to the council and say, you know what, they want a community partnership with the city, and that's how they will help. In fact, what the ratepayers association should do, it goes to We Free, and then they will assist them with tools and everything else. They will give them bin bags, they'll give you wheelbarrows, spades, and everything. And if they need assistance, they can call me, and I can arrange with them to assist Springbok Beach as well. And then once you got your own team, people see, Shabbat, then you don't have to look for money. Like as I said, for 2024, the 360 rand, people are phoning us. In fact, we got a WhatsApp group for service delivery. They're asking us, can we please have your account number? Please have your account details. Everybody's putting the money in because they can see. People want to see what you do for them. And things will start happening after the 24 election, because ANC is doomed. There's a big breakaway with Luma and the Quantum Seas, where there's a massive breakaway. So things are going to happen. And if you have the right government in place, we will be able to get what we want in this country, and we'll have much better living conditions what they are at the moment, because people are frustrated. They are cut full of what is happening in the city at the moment.
Yeah, see, you know your Afrikaans, you, eh? Hello, it's cut full. What's happening here in Cape Town, eh? You know how language they use there. We can't use it on our radio. Yeah, those people in Cape Town, Ahmed, you go there quite often in your house. Hey, it is cut fall. But I'm looking at a message from Jamilia. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Let's be fair to the ward councillor in Ward 90. He has to take care of Isipingo Beach, Isipingo Rail, Lotus Park, Oriental, and Allah knows what and what. He's been tied to a ward that is not a ward. It is like a small country. Ahmed, how you respond to Jamil there? I mean, maybe he's got a point. This ward councillor is being bombarded from different areas. I don't know if they got Umlazi in Ward 92. I don't know how it works, Ahmed.
Shafan, Ward 90 is made out of Spingo Beach, Lotus Park, Lotus Hills, all that. So he knows that when he applied to become a ward councillor, he knew what he was getting into. So when he knew what he was getting to, he got elected under the banner of DA, and he won the award. And because the people voted for him. Now, if people voted for him, now you are accountable to the community because the people you demand by him in Lotus Park, he has to do work. He has to do in Spingo Beach work. He has to do Orient Hill. He has to do the work. End of the day, he is the ward councillor. The ward councillor is there to serve the community. And he has to send on a monthly basis a return to his party as well as the speaker. What has he done in his community? He has to call up 3 or 4 community meetings in the community. In Spingo Beach, I don't even think in 2 years you all had one community meeting to say, where is your problem? What we are faced with? What is he going? He needs to answer. What we do here in Musgrave, Shepherd, we just finished. We had the issue. I picked up there was a niche issue that all the lawyers were not getting the rate certificate. So when a lawyer doesn't get a rate certificate, he cannot register the bond, cannot register the property in Marisburg at the deeds office. The state agent sold the property. He gave the paperwork to the lawyer to do the documentation and submit on the seller's behalf to the deeds office. He cannot get paid because the thing is, only when the property is registered, then both the entities get paid. I called up a meeting, Shafat, you won't believe it. I had about over 90 lawyers. I had about 30 state agency agents that came to that meeting in Musgrave, and we called the deputy head of treasury. He couldn't come, but he sent his assistant. But you won't believe it, within 2 weeks, all that issue, there was 529 or 530 rates clearance, and all wanted urgently, which they queried there at the meeting. Meeting lasted for about 1.5-2 hours, and you won't believe it, everything has been finalized. This is where a ward councillor too. He has to call sanitation and water, DSW. He has to call electricity department. They must come there, call up our community meeting. He must call them and say, right, there's the head of electricity. He will tell you where the problem is, and what can be done, and how long is going to be done. So the community knows they can't be bashing the councillor all the time because the council, me, I take the pressure off me. I call up a meeting. I said, you got a problem at the moment. We, you know, with this heavy winds and all that, especially in the Musgrave area, there's a lot of trees. You know, in the old days, the whites love trees. In the pavement, they planted trees and right through. Now, these trees are maybe 70, 60, 80 years old. The branches and all, you know, heavy wind comes, it normally closes the road sometime when the branches fall off. So we need to make sure we phone them, they come and cut the branches off, and they take all the branches and they leave it on the pavement. So now another team has to come and pick up. Now that team has got other work as well, so we put pressure on that team. They say, hold on, you all have to cut this tree. It was that wind was on Thursday night. Today is Thursday. 1 week later, you all have not picked this thing up. We send a letter, we call up a meeting, we say, no, these are the people involved, this is what we are doing, and we make things happen. That's how you have to do things.
Look at this message. Farooq says, Assalamu alaikum. May I remind Ahmed that Durban South Basin, Spingo Beach included, there's Toyota there, there's many other companies in this area, And we definitely are one of the richest parts of the country. And this councillor is sitting on a gold mine, but he's not doing what he has to do. How does he work with the Toyota and the businesses? And do they help him, or do they subsidize him in helping the community out? Because it is time that these are big businesses that are in our area did something for the people. But I can also say that I believe that these companies are helping the Jondolos, as Ahmed says. The Jondolos are getting spoiled by these companies. Please, Ahmed, your advice. That's a very good point there, Ahmed, by Farooq.
Shafat, first and foremost, those informal settlements, we had recently, during the course of this year, I had to come and assist some of the people there, as well as give of the givers came there and assisted a lot of people when those shacks were burnt. The thing is this, first and foremost, there have been allocated land, and some of these people are stubborn. They don't want to move that area. And prime area like Spingo Beach, if you go on the top of Tiger's Rocks, when I went there to inspect with a team of my delegation, and you got a shack there overlooking a beach. You won't, you know, when you see that there, you won't find it in most of the top big houses in Amstanga or Durban North or anywhere else. You'll find beautiful overlooking the beach. Who's going to move out from there? So that's one of the issues. The issue is there was allocation made, and that they have to take this matter up. Said your second point was, if your ratepayers association is strong, you go like what we did in Musgrave. We went to Musgrave Center. We went to some of the businesses. The businesses, they don't give you 360 rands a year. They'll give you more. So you can sustain in whatever you do in terms of keeping your roads clean, in terms of making sure there's no grass, the grass cutting is sorted out there. If there is, and then you link up yourself with the Itigwini municipality, and they will help you too, because at the end of the day, you're making their work much easier for them. So there is plans in place, but you're not taking the opportunity to go and get assistance. That's the problem we are facing.
Ahmed, I got a saying here. If you want to make a plan, who are you going to call? And you're going to call Ahmed Farooq. Ahmed, I tell you, you're absolutely brilliant as usual this morning. Your parting words before I let you go.
Shafat, from maybe next week, might not be on radio for a few weeks. Need to go and take a chill pill just to take a little bit of a break. Maybe I'm going to put somebody together to assist you in our radio, but I'll give you some clips during the course of the week as well. So that's where I am at the moment. You know, in council work, you need a little bit of a small rest that you need to settle down, because next year is going to be a fight for survival in this country. And if we're not going to put our act together, what service delivery we require, we need to put that service delivery first for the community. And if the community is a rate-paying community, they can demand for the service delivery. And this is what we are saying. We want to go all out there and make sure that whatever matters we is going before court, we want to fight to the tooth and nail there and get that service delivery via the courts. If the city can't do it, we will take the government to pieces for the service delivery. And this is what our aim and object is.
Well, Ahmed, you send me those clips. I'll handle the rest of it. And alhamdulillah, you deserve the break. And, you know, chill out with not with Mr. Chilwan, but chill out with the writer of Mr. Chuan or someone like that. And you have a beautiful rest ahead. Looking forward to having you back fresh, Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.